Now we're joined on the programme by the Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly. Good morning to you, Pauline. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, you recently raised the issue of a hair loss therapy for cancer patients that, as far as I'm aware, and I think you outlined, is not available in Letterkenny. So could you give us the details of the issue that you raised?
Sure, yeah. Well, there's about half of the hospitals in Ireland provide this service, but actually it's on the HSE website that you should be able to get it. And it was brought to my attention that many of those, and particularly women going through cancer treatment, weren't getting access to it. So as we know, in some cancer treatments, hair loss is one of the side effects. And there's a device that you can put on a patient's head, and it basically makes the scalp cold, and it prevents, in many instances, it prevents hair loss. Now, it doesn't work every time, and it's really a matter for the oncologist, a conversation with the person going through the treatment, but it works in a lot of cases. And so I raised the matter. I did a motion in the Senate and brought in the Minister for Health, and really, I suppose, tried to persuade him of the merits of it. And
I think it's important that all people have equal access to whatever therapies or treatments are available, including hypothermia. It's great that it's provided in 7 hospitals currently, but everyone, and you know, Pauline, I think it's a given that for a lot of people, for a lot of women, hair loss through chemotherapy can compound, obviously, what's already a difficult situation. It can be a very difficult part of that healing process.
Absolutely. And I mean, some studies would even show that people in some cases decide not to go ahead with treatment because of the devastating, I suppose, emotional side that visible hair loss. It impacts on other people as well, in the family, young children seeing perhaps their mother losing their hair, and it's not necessary. But as you say, I mean, it's this shocking, I suppose, state of affairs where you have some hospitals that have it and others that don't. And I have people contacting me since I've raised the issue, people contacting me to see how they can get it in parts of the country. In Galway, neither of the hospitals have it. In Letterkenny, again, the same. Nace, and in Dundalk, and then some others do have it. So it's deeply unfair situation.
Okay, so after you raised it, you mentioned you received contact then from the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly. What had he got to say?
Yeah, so he thanked me for raising it initially last year and said he had never heard of it. And I suppose I laid out what the costs would be, and they're relatively minor costs. And last night then he gave me a call and he said, great news, thanks for raising it, and he's going to fund it for every hospital in the country. So every hospital will be offered it, and those hospitals that might want more will also be offered more.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's not necessarily a silver bullet. It does work. It has been proven to work, of course. But it depends on sometimes the type of treatment that people get. But one of the most common cancers, of course, is breast cancer. And it is quite effective, is it? Particularly for the chemotherapy that would be given to people undergoing treatment for breast cancer.
It is. And I've met women who have undergone treatment. And one woman in particular, and once she was offered the cold cap and once she wasn't, and she said it was like night and day, her experience of going through treatment. So yes, it is effective, not in every case, but it's worth a conversation with your oncologist to see if it's going to suit your particular type of treatment.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you will of course chase this up to ensure the money is available as promised, but also to where it is offered to hospitals, what happens there as well? Because you know, we have to, and we will as well. We have to be sure, don't we, that if a hospital is offered this, that they take up this offer, that it doesn't get lost in paperwork or what have you. That the people seeking treatment in our local hospital and in Galway, of course, many people from here go down to Galway. That the hospitals actually do accept these offers.
Yeah, well, I mean, the minister has spoken to the hospitals and some are saying that they will avail of it and some are yet to be persuaded. I suppose the minister's feeling and mine as well would be that once it starts to be rolled out, people can see how easy it is to manage. And indeed, like, it's a very easy process. It's not even a procedure, wouldn't be the correct word.
Yeah, yeah.
You just attach it to a person's head and they do the rest, you know. So I'm hopeful. I mean, if some hospitals can do it, there's no reasons why others can't do it.
Yeah.
And it is about that equality of access, as you said at the start there.
Indeed. Thanks, Pauline. I appreciate your time. That is Senator Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party. We're going to put an inquiry into Letterkenny University Hospital to see if they are open to accepting the offer of funding to provide this. Very interested, too, if any of you out there listening, and obviously, it depends on the person because we're talking about, you know, what some people might seem as very private. But if any of you perhaps did go through cancer treatment and did have the cold cap, it seems quite simple, really, in that it's a cap one puts on the head and it cools the blood in the head. And that for many people, but not for all, and dependent on the type of chemotherapy and what have you, that can reduce hair loss or minimise hair loss. If you've had experience of that and it worked for you, it really would be useful to speak to you and obviously maybe even then strengthen the argument for this to be made available to anyone getting treatment in Letterkenny and Galway as soon as possible. Are you ready to take the next step in your career journey, or are you keen to get back into the local workforce? Then look no further, because the Inishowen's job fair could be just what you are looking for. Sinead McDade, team lead and enterprise officer with Inishowen Development Partnership. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
And we are also joined by Anne McColgan, employer management officer with Inishowen Development Partnership. Both of you, thanks so much for calling down.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to highlight our Inishowen Job Fair that's on this Saturday, April 20th, in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel from 10 to 1. And we're really calling out for all job seekers, recent graduates, school leavers, or anyone looking for a change in their career to come along this Saturday and hear from the wide range of high-quality employment opportunities they are available. Maybe to set the context of where I came about.
I'll just get out of here. You don't need me, Sinead. I'll just go. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Hey, Anna. Yep. What do you mean? Perfect. Be nice.
No, it's fair.
Oh, what a joke. No, Sinead, set the context for us.
Yeah,
please.
So really within our in business initiative, we can engage with the local employers and SMEs within the peninsula, and again, recruitment comes back as the main challenge. And the flip side of that, we have our employment support team that actively engage with the job seekers on a daily basis with that employment strategy. So the both pool of people were there. So we kind of put our heads together and how we would get an avenue for both of them to link in together for the beneficial of all. We put a call out to our local employers and we were kind of overwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm interested in how many local employers, not a specific number, but, you know, the level of interest in this. You put the call out. You were surprised by the response.
We really
levels.
Were surprised. And it was really about the depth of the active, the varied vacancies across multiple sectors.
Yeah.
But probably one thing, because Anna now is kind of going to link in with who's in the room and the type of vacancies, but maybe to get across active and immediate and multiple, all the stand holders on the day have multiple vacancies. And a lot of them have immediate, to quote one employer, if they get the right candidate on Saturday, they would be commencing employment the following
straight
week.
Away.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities out there.
And Anna, it can be a bit of a maze, you know. I mean, like, LinkedIn is there and stuff, but I mean, I don't really find that easy to engage with personally. I haven't really tried, but that's a me problem. Or newspapers or whatever, and I know there's job spots, but there is a lot of availability of employment, right? And there's lots of people looking for jobs. Maybe it's something they were very passionate about or qualified in, and then they took a different direction or what have you. This is a great opportunity to get all of those people in under the one roof.
As part of our In Business series, we discussed an awful lot with our local employers, because we have some very long established businesses in Inishowen and they're looking to sustain their business. but also to have a pathway for their employees to grow. So then they also need, you know, to be able to fuel that with new people as well. So that was really, really important for them. I think whenever, like, we've 20 employers going to be in the room.
Wow, okay.
Over 170 jobs mm-hmm. that we know of that are active.
Ready to go. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an idea of some of the areas that mm-hmm. these employers yeah, are in?
I'll give you, I have a list here of the employers, like, if you don't mind me going through them. So HML Plant and Construction, they have a huge number of jobs, both available locally here in the Northwest, but also across in England. Forward Emphasis are going to double their workforce between Malin and Buncrana this year. They've taken 60 on and have another 40 posts going mm-hmm. out now. McDade's Bathroom and Plumbing, Frames Direct, one of our long-standing employers, along with Lynch Windows and a Shone Engineer. You know, they're the ones, they're the jobs that are, you know, steady there, and they're actively recruiting from school leavers right the way through to professional services within that. And Efficient Renewables, you know, and just thinking, like, along the lines of, if you became a joiner tomorrow, you know, you'd be thinking, I'm going to go out into construction site and everything else. Efficient Renewables are looking for apprentice joiners, apprentice electricians, and everything.
So there's on-the-job training mm-hmm.
as well. Yeah, do you know okay. what I mean? And it's in all of the different areas of construction. So you might have, you know, did your training for one specific job, but think about that. It's like a doctor specialising in an area. Mm-hmm. You can also do that. So for school leavers especially, looking at the opportunities within these employers.
To build actually a career, a skill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So we have Vertiv, which a lot of people would know as E&I Engineering, Lynch Windows and a Shone Co-op, with a couple of accountancy firms, MLMG, and McGonagall McLachlan and McGuinness O'Neill Accountants. North Fox Facilities, it's a guy, James Grant, down in Kilmany. Now, he started literally on the back of COVID. And it was really, like, he's commissioning the work that's done by E&I Engineering all over the world.
Right.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's, yes, and we have even the like of the Inishowen Gateway Hotel. So it's important that they're so cross-sector.
That's it, Sinead. And it's also cross-skill set from school leavers to people who might be qualified in certain areas. Mm-hmm. I don't think people should exclude themselves from this process. Go along and see what matches.
Really, you know. Really, as I said, we kind of really refer to it, skilled and unskilled. And it's kind of not, the aim of the job fair as well is to allow people to come talk directly to the employer, see what opportunities is out there, because there is a lot of vacancies in our county. You know, if there is a skills gap, our employment supports team will be there on hand. We have to deal with people with their CV if there's a gap, and we can provide that referral process and what is a need and provide that high quality service. Also, as well as of our large vacancy, the employers in the room, we will have a jobs wall. You know, we regularly do that. So our employment supports team will be managing that and helping the people. So a wide range, a varied. So if you're unemployed and looking for it, but again, it's the recent graduates as well. We have a high level of professional post out there as well.
Yeah.
You know,
and also though, you know, you can get stuck in a rut too in a working environment. You know, and we don't want to take workers away from any established business, don't get me wrong, but if someone's working for you and they're not happy, maybe it's better that they move on. Who's to say? So you know, go in, look around and see if something catches your interest.
Uh-huh. Like we have Kingsbridge Private Hospitals, and they're going to be there, and they're looking for all across the Northwest, you know, both Letterkenny and Ballykelly. But then you have, you know, Irish Home Care, they're looking for carers. So from, you know, healthcare is such a big area, you know, and, you know, it's all about that whole career progression mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. You know, you want people to be able to, you know, really enjoy what they do, and as you say, if they need or want to move or get a nice injection of energy by moving mm-hmm. somewhere else, they're bringing that energy with them.
You can also look at someone in the white of their eyes and see what they can bring to you and what you can bring to them. And of course, this is Inishowen Development Partnership, and this is based in Inishowen, but who's to say people won't travel to
yeah,
this event?
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that is, you know, hopefully this will highlight today.
Does people travel from Derry down to Broken Abbots and Donegal Town?
And a lot of the positions is over the county, do you know, and a lot of the big employers that Anna's really referred to have positions, yes, in Inishowen, but many of the positions is based in Letterkenny or more countywide, and some even has possibilities for overseas. So, yeah, we really are calling out for anybody that's in the county at all that would wish to avail, please come along.
North and south.
Yes, of course.
And am I right in saying too that this is obviously for people in Inishowen that there's some transport links to the event?
Yes, so it'd be good to highlight that because we are closing that. So we are, just so that the job fair is accessible to all, we know transport can be a barrier for some job seekers. So we are putting on transport from Mavill, Cairndonagh, Ballyliffin, Muff and Burntford area. We do, our only ask on that is that we have to, there is our booking on our socials, on our Facebook and on our Instagram and with our PR Katie there, down there. But if we are asking that if you could book that by this afternoon, we are closing that to kind of manage the logistics on that tomorrow. Or ring into our reception and Maureen and Marie will gladly take your details this afternoon.
And of course that also recognising that there are people who have moved to Buncrana to Inishowen recently as well. You're engaging with the Ukrainian communities ETC to see if any of these positions match.
We are, yes, and we will have our connecting community officers are both linking in with that, and it's well promoted, and we will have all them on the day as well. And we, as I said, our employment support team will be able to help them in relation to any job ready supports they needed in their CV to prepare them to submit. So we're asking people as well to come with their CV, Greg. You know, if you're coming from Letterkenny and you have CV, because employers are going to actively accept them on the day. If you don't have it, don't let that be a barrier. You know, the employers will take your contact details directly. And again, you can link in with our team that will do your CV or make an appointment and we can submit that. But if you do have your CV, bring it with you. We are really hoping that...
this opportunity is ready to go.
We're hoping that assists in that regard.
Anna, it's the jobs fair gets underway in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel in Buncrana from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. Short window, you're not asking for a big commitment. This April the 20th, of course, which is Saturday, free to attend and open to everyone, as we've been outlining.
It is, and
the
weather's going to be good on Saturday, so nobody has any excuses for coming.
Yeah, could be the day you meet your next potential employer, and we definitely will be there to give you a warm welcome and assist you in whatever we can.
All right, so get along if any of that interests you, and I imagine some people it's probably even just the conversation has lit a little fire underneath them. Because I, as I said, right from the very beginning, it's connecting the right people to the right jobs.
Especially,
and it can be a minefield to try and find it yourself.
We don't realise the amount of talent there is there in the engineering sphere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, there's just so many jobs and possibilities right the way through from the apprenticeship all the way through to...
And even, our two big accountancy firms there, they're, you know, trying to get them before we maybe go to Australia because they have that accountant apprenticeships, you know, available as well. So maybe any parents listening in that might want to avail what opportunity might be there as well for their maybe senior students that leave in cert year. You know, come along and, you know, engage and see what opportunities is out there yet.
Because, of course, you know, I mean, obviously we always have to highlight where there are deficiencies, right? Mm-hmm. But we also, too, have to celebrate where... you know, it is a beautiful part of the place to live. It's expensive, right? But it's not the most expensive.
Yeah.
There are good job opportunities here. I think what, you know, for a lot of people, you can get a job. You can then apply for a credit union loan or whatever, and you can sort of get on the road. I know it's a struggle. I'm not trying to make out it's easy either, but also we don't want to make out that it's impossible.
We agree,
you can progress yourself here.
There is.
And there are opportunities out there. And we can, I suppose we as adults have to take responsibility to ensure that we talk equally about the positives as we have to highlight the gaps, don't we? But, you know, at the same time, we do have to say there's quite a bit going on too.
And there is, and probably, you know, as Anna already alluded to, like there is about conservatively 170 vacancies available there on Saturday, you know, so that is an opportunity to be highlighted, you know.
And these companies are companies that have been working, you know, long term in Anishinaabe. You know, they're well established, you know, and, you know, the thing about it is they want to continue to be there.
It's such an important point you make, Anna, because in the past, you know, we had a situation as often when we talked about job creation, right, or job opportunities, it was maybe money was thrown at a startup or something, runs for a year, money runs out, jobs go. Here we're talking about businesses that have a long-term history and significant business and growth plans going forward. And as I say, it's good to see us moving to that. You know,
I think.
Okay, listen, Sinead, check out Anishinaabe Development Partnership if you want. And I think you have to be quick on this if you want to see if there are transport options available. The numbers have to be finalised there and what have you. But there are options there for people within the Anishinaabe area. And look forward to it Saturday. Anna has promised, is Anne or Anna?
Anna.
Anna has promised us good weather.
Yes, we will.
It's always the sun's always
shining. You'll have the lovely backside of the beach behind you, so that will be,
And then afterwards, me and Anna are going to get into our cozzies and jump off the beach.
Everything's ready for Saturday.
I'll take the photographic evidence.
Oh, no, no, no.
You can post it on your
Listen, what happens in Anishinaabe stays in Anishinaabe.
I like it. But come here, Anna, I think there's going to be a great buzz, and I think it's going to be really well attended. And Sinead, both you and Anna, you can
and we will be there on the day.
Do maybe, Greg, if anybody is, follow us on our socials, because we are doing a spotlight of each one of our employers over the next couple of days. Katie is running that, so follow us on our Facebook or our Instagram.
They'll learn
page.
A bit more about the companies that are going to be
companies
there.
Companies that's going to be there,
And some of these are good conditions. I think, you know, it's a, I think employers know that you have to look after your employees now to hire and retain. Yeah. So there's good options.
As part of our In Business series, we've been working with the employers for the last number of years. And, you know, they really are putting so much effort into making sure that, you know, that the right conditions are there to get
the
people and keep them.
It helps that they've got the IDP to work with as well, too. Do you know what I mean?
We're in business.
It's good. It's enjoyable. Yeah. It really is because you know, they work very hard in the job that they do, but they also, they work as well collaboratively with each other, you know, as well.
Well, you're doing great things up there. We were up with you not so long ago, and it's great to have you down here. And you do great things, and we really appreciate you coming down and being good sports as well. Sinead McDade, Team Lead and Enterprise Officer with Anishinaabe Development Partnership, and Anna McColgan, Employment Engagement Officer with the IDP as well. Both of you, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
We'll be back with more after these. I'm not sure what, if anything, is in this, but got a few messages just after 11 o'clock from people in the Trusk Loch area to say they heard a very loud bang that seemed to shake houses. This was just after 11 o'clock. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that someone felt locally or it's broader than that, but I believe that's in the Battle of Faestronola area, Trusk Loch. But if you are in that area, you heard a loud bang. Maybe the people talked about maybe the house shook a little bit. Get in touch with us. Let us know if you felt that. 086 60 25,000 or call 07491 25,000. Now, we heard from Senator Pauline O'Reilly a little earlier on that she raised the issue of cold caps, which can be effective for some in reducing hair loss during cancer treatment, particularly during chemotherapy. And we're joined on the program now by Sally. Hi, Sally.
Hello, Greg.
Thank you very much for answering the call. Every day, don't be nervous, Sally. Every day is a learning day for me, so I really appreciate you coming on. Right, okay. So it's all right for us to talk about your cancer, isn't it? You got cancer.
Surely, no bother.
So you found out that you had cancer in 2015, 2016. Is that correct?
Yeah, I found out in 2015, and then I had to have a routine mammogram, and then I had that in Galway because Letterkenny was quite busy, so Galway was taking up the extra appointments then. I had it in Galway, and then the within about an hour and a half, 2 hours, they told me that I had breast cancer, which I was devastated because nobody could feel a lump. My GP, the registrar that had examined me in Galway, I couldn't find anything. So they did the ultrasound, the biopsy, and although it took 3 weeks for the biopsy to come back, but they did say they were 99.9% sure that it was cancer. And because I was sent then to Letterkenny, to the consultant there, but because I was living on my own and the bloods could go down during chemo and you could become quite ill quite quickly, you need to have somebody in the house. So I went then to live with my daughter just outside of Sligo in Bonnyconlan, and she teaches down there, and I was sent to Sligo then, which was great. I had the cold cap. That was January 16, and I had the cold cap.
But before we talk about the cold cap and the experience, Sally, everybody's different, okay, and deals with things in a different way. How much of a factor in your mind was the loss of your hair during treatment? Like, it was it, well, sure, it's part of it, I'll have to get through it, was it very distressful for you?
It was distressful. Okay. When I was first diagnosed, I didn't ask how bad it was. Will I ever die? How long have I got? I just said, what about me hair?
Wow, isn't it amazing how some things are so important? Yeah. Okay.
It was just the main thing, because I thought I didn't want to look as if I had cancer and get the pity looks and all the rest of it. And I thought, no, if I can get something. So there was a breast care nurse who was retiring in Sligo. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I went to see the consultant in Sligo, that was the very first question as well. What about my hair? So they mentioned then I had the cold cap, and I'd never heard tell of it. Mm-hmm. And now it's very cold. You need to be a bit cran like myself to stick it out. You get a brain freeze.
Yeah.
But I got used to it, and I'd stick wee bits of gauze in my forehead, so it didn't hit the forehead. And it goes on, and it's on about 20 minutes to half an hour before your treatment starts, and it freezes the hair follicles. And then it's on again for another maybe half hour or so after you finish your treatment.
So during that chemotherapy process, it greatly reduces the flow of blood to your scalp, and presumably that's where, for some, it's effective.
Yes.
So right. You had it 15...
It took up to something like... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Sally, you were telling us that you put it on for 15 minutes before each chemotherapy treatment.
No, it's normally 20 minutes to half an hour.
Okay.
And you have to have that on first before you start your chemo.
And you it's called a cold cap. It's a freezing cap. It's very cold.
It's hooked up to antifreeze.
Right. Some people have said that the headaches were so bad that it wasn't worth it for them. But I think you described yourself as being tran enough to stick it out.
Well, that was it. The first day that I had it on, the first day was fine because you damp your hair before you put it on. Mm-hmm. The second day I thought to myself, well, I'm going to make sure this works. So I soaked the hair and it was like a brain freeze.
Yeah.
So the nurse came round and she said, look, you're freezing. I'm taking this off. I said, no, I'm digging, you're not. And she said, you're cold. I said, yes, you can give me a cup of tea. You give me a blanket. You're not taking it off. So she came back again 10 minutes later. She says, have you a headache? I says, yeah, but you can give me something for that too.
Mm.
And I just got used to ways then. If you put in the bit of gauze around the forehead and it didn't hit onto your skin, that's how I cope with it.
I suppose it's like everything, Sally. I mean, lots of people now seem to be doing, and it's not to do with cancer treatment, but jumping into barrels of ice and all that kind of stuff. You know, I suppose you get used...
I don't think I do that.
No, neither would I, but I think you get used to anything as such. So you had it on before all of your chemotherapy treatments, and it worked for you, did it?
It worked for me. It was a godsend for me. It really was. And it meant then... I didn't think of the cancer. I could go for my walks. I could, you know, I drove my car a few days after the chemo. But again, as you say, as, you know, I just wanted life to go as normal.
Of course, that was the way you were dealing with your diagnosis and treatment. Yeah, exactly. And that all went well for you, thankfully, in terms of treatment as well, because you're in great fettle now.
Thankfully. The only downside of the chemo was the taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, might as well chew a bit of wood as, you know, have your dinner. The taste, the loss of taste was, that was hard to deal with.
Did that return for you? I've heard others who it never returned for.
Oh, yes, it did. I had six chemo, and six doses of chemo, and every 3 weeks. Now, coming towards the end of the second week, 2.5 weeks, maybe the taste would return.
Mm.
But then as soon as you got the chemo, it went again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, Sally, thank you so much for your experience, for sharing your experience. Senator Pauline O'Reilly... I was going to say, Senator Pauline O'Reilly said that she raised this and our Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, had never heard of it. I was a wee bit shocked at that.
That's what prompted me to ring. Because I thought to myself, if this is going... And now, I had it in 2016 in Sligo. Obviously, it was going a long time before that. And how come he doesn't know anything about it? And I always said, if I had the good sense to win money, I would definitely get one for Letterkenny. It is the greatest thing for women. And in actual fact, when I was up there, there was a gentleman in the same, you know, in the chemo ward. And he had on the cold cap.
So you were so moved by your experience that if you had come on money, you would have provided it so people in Letterkenny could have had it.
I think it's the most fantastic thing for women. Yeah. Now, as I say, it doesn't work for all treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was the greatest thing. And I keep telling everybody about it. And even hairdressers I go to, and I always mention it to them. Do you know if they would have patients coming in? Apparently, it was designed by a German doctor and his sons, because it's... that their mother had cancer and lost her hair.
Yes.
And she was so devastated that this is called the Pac-Man cold cap.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And they designed this, it's a German design, they designed this cap way back, I don't know, year or whatever, do you know?
Well, I think it's fascinating.
It's fantastic.
And I'm really pleased that it worked for you, especially given, as you said in your own words, that was almost the main thing you were thinking about. And I'm really, really pleased, Sally, that your treatment went well for you and that you're in great form. So thank you very much for calling in and chatting to me.
No bother at all, and I hope it helps somebody else.
No, I'm sure it will, because it's a great endorsement. Thanks, Sally. Now, some other comments. Hi, Greg. We're waiting 14 months on getting back our 90% from paying €6,500. When we ring to inquire when we'll be reimbursed, a new requirement is asked for. If we didn't ring, we'd never be informed. Absolutely soul-destroying. Greg, I can only speak about my own situation, but the scheme is far from smooth. I'm very soon going to be at a standstill due to money not being paid out. Would the council councillors work for weeks on end without receiving payments? Why are builders expected to? We as homeowners have jumped through hoop after hoop to get to this rebuild stage, to now be told not enough information on one invoice and a few weeks later too much information on another. Stalling tactics at their best. It's an absolute joke, believes this listener. I hope the scheme is running smoothly for some, but it certainly is not the case for me or my family. It's a living nightmare. And by the way, can I say we're very keen to listen to, or I'm very keen to hear from people who it is working smoothly for. As well, by the way, very important for that to be highlighted. Also, Ali Farron is a homeowner and a candidate for the 100% redress party, and he had this to say via voice note.
Morning, Greg. Ali Farron here, and I was out canvassing yesterday and met a builder who says he's inundated with people looking for him to rebuild houses, but he says he can't afford to even get on, you know, to consider them because of the lack of money and the length of time he has to wait to get paid. So this is what we're finding all over North Innishowen. There's just lots of things not working with this present scheme at the moment, and you can understand why builders do not want to get involved with this scheme if they're going to have to wait for money, because the building provider, the person who provides the blocks, the concrete, the roof or whatever, he's looking for his money within a month. So why can't the council not keep the funds flowing to deliver that?
All right, Ali Farron via voice note there, by the way. And the voice note option is available to all of you, by the way. If you've got, even if you want to play a request for someone, do you know what I mean? Lots of people sending requests for people celebrating special days. Feel free to WhatsApp that. I want it to be absolutely clear that all of our lines of communication are for requests, for comments, for shout outs, anything that you want to use it for. There's nothing like a request in your own voice, is there? And I also want to play a request for Shelley McFadden and Liam Holian. They're getting married today, so a beautiful day for them, and hopefully they have a wonderful future ahead. That's for Shelley McFadden and Liam Hullion, I believe his name is. They're getting married today. So, as I say, the voice notes, 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000. And your voice notes to that number, be it a comment, be it a query, be it a request or dedication for someone, don't be shy. Best wishes to Shelley McFadden and Liam Hullion, who are getting married today. From Mum, Dad and all the family, any possibility of playing Shout Up and Dance? Shut Up and Dance With Me. Shut Up and Dance With Me. I can't play it, but I will certainly pass it on to either John or David, and they'll get hopefully they'll get out. But anyway, Shelley and Liam, have a wonderful day. Hope the celebrations go really, really well, and best of luck with everything going forward. Hey, you got to feel for all the people who fix and repair lawnmowers. You know, the people, and I'm probably one of them, you last cut... Probably, what, when would the last cut be? Maybe start of August, maybe the end of August. You chuck the lawnmower into the shed, or into wherever you can store the lawnmower. And then the next time you see it is around about now, as soon as the weather forecast predicts a little bit of sun, you pull it out, you try and give it a pull, the rope breaks or the blades are stuck or whatever. And we all land in our thousands to the local lawnmower repair shop. So they're going to get some rush, I think, over the next few days. So we wish them well, and they can make hay, financial hay, whilst the sun shines. And then there are those of you out there, of course, who were very responsible and got it serviced whilst they were quieter. I want to say good morning to Hugh. Hiya, Hugh.
Good morning, Craig.
It's great to have you on the programme, Hugh. Now, tell us the situation that you found yourself in, and it's really some damage to your property and your dealings then with an insurance company. So you tell us the story from wherever you're comfortable, Hugh.
Craig, I was, sit at the fire, light the fire every evening, and, and from 5 o'clock on, and well, the winter day I have it on all the time, But I was sitting here a couple of weeks back, and they were sitting here, lit the fire, and oh God bless us, the smoke, and how they opened doors and smoke alarms going off and all. So I rang my son, I live alone, and he came down, and we got the thing out, and the fire out. And he put his hand on round there. I said to him, could you lift that draft out altogether? And she might go. But he put his hand on round the draft in the retrograde, and there were a pile of stones and flue pieces, came out or was there. So he lifted them out, and we filled nearly a bum bag. So that was okay. The other son came down the following day, and he says he would go up to the chimney and he would see if there's anything wrong up there. So he took a crowbar up and he tried to push things down to try and release it, and no good. So that was okay. The following day, I contacted the insurance broker.
And just before we get to that, Hugh, if you don't mind, you effectively then had a chimney fire which damaged the flue inside the chimney as well. Thankfully, you had your sons on hand and your fire alarms and everything, but it was effectively a chimney fire that you had.
No, it wasn't. That was the... I can honestly say, I wouldn't tell lies about it. The whole, the flues has collapsed, and lost the chimney, So that was okay. We were, as I say, we didn't know what to do then. So I decided then, I'll contact the insurance broker. And certainly so, they said they'll send somebody out. And a couple of days after, the fellow was out. He drove from Galway to, I think he made a stay in Lerigini that night, and he came here the next morning at 10:30, and up in the attic. He took photos up in the attic. He took photos out down here, and he took photos of the kitchen. he went up to the gym there and he took the winnacle, he took the thing off, you know, that you try to keep the birds out or whatever. You know, so that was all. He was a great way. I tell you, Sean, I thought I couldn't have met a nicer man. So lo and behold, away he went, and he says to me, next week or the week after, he says, you'll be getting a cheque on the post.
So off the back of that, presumably then, because you need your fire, Hugh, off the back of that, then, did you start sorting materials and stuff?
I'm a son real. Like, I've no fire, no nothing. I've a blow heater, electric heater and all, and I've oil heating, but it's in this house 60 years, do you know what I mean? There's not one heat, nothing, do you know? But, that was okay then, so... I was sitting back then for a week or a fortnight waiting on this check to come through so that I would be able to get somebody to fix me, fix the gimlet and all, you know. And they have to bore holes on the wall and take out the old flues and put on new flues, and it's a whole big job, and wallpaper and all has to come out off because it's that big a job, no much soot and dirt, you know. So then I got a letter then from the insurance company then stating that to contact such a person, and so I did the next day, and I was told that I wasn't covered, the assessor sent in a report and says it was blocked with boards and S. Well, I can assure you, and anybody knows anything about wildlife, the crows doesn't start to build to March or the middle of March. They're building from, and let me tell you, just with a click of your fingers, my fire started to smoke. And like, if that had happened the middle of the night and me had a fire on, I'd have been dead today.
And God forbid that would have happened, Hugh, but your son was up hoking up with the crowbar. Do you think that made it look worse than it actually was? In other words, if the insurance...
For the assessor, that was handy for him because he turned around and he told the insurance company that it was the crowbar done the damage. It pushed the nest down, the bird's nest down, and blocked the gimlet.
Yeah, but that was afterwards.
That was afterwards, you know. But like, as I say, I'm left now that I have to try and get it sorted for myself. And like, fair play to the lady. I was talking to the lady of the insurance company, you know, the gentleman was to look after me, wouldn't come on or didn't come on, I was nice enough to the girl, and apologised to the girl.
Well, listen, Hugh, pardon? You're a gentleman, of course you're going to be nice to them, and maybe sometimes maybe you're too honest for your own good, but anyway, listen, I know that your health is not fantastic, and I know that you very much rely on this fire, and it's been over a week since you were able to light this fire.
We're going
to get on to the insurance company and on the off chance we can appeal to their... we're going to get into the insurance company on the off chance that it appeals to their better judgment and can understand the situation you're in and can pay it out. I'm not sure that's going to work, Hugh, but I think at this point it's all... If I could do it, I'd call round and do it right now for you, but I can't. But we can try with the insurance company and see what the story is, Hugh.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, Greg, because I'm sitting here in the house and I have no fire, no nothing. As I say, I have to try and get somebody to do this, and I'm going to be out of pocket for at least maybe £3,000, because the house is going to have to be decorated and all. And like, as I say, I just can't afford it.
Okay, you know? Of course. Just, you, of course. Listen, leave it with us, all right? And I'm sorry you're going through this. It's distressful. But as I say, thank you so much for talking to us. Leave it with us. We'll chase it up on the off chance it might be able to help in some way or other. But that's Hugh, an older person living on his own, obviously loves the fire every evening but can't light the fire. And the insurance company say they won't pay out because it's down to bird nests. Okay, we'll look at that. We're back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a great day, everyone.